Good day, and welcome to this week's edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile on 101.5 UMFM. I'm your host, Adam Johnston, for Thursday, June 20th, 2024. In this week's episode, Enough's Enough, we take a look at the events that occurred on June 6th, where four cyclists were hit by motorists, including one of them who lost their lives, which seems to be an all-too-much familiar story in our city. We take a look at that day, why it continues to happen, the reaction of the cycling community, and what can be done to prevent this in the future. That is all on this week's special edition of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. Again, thank you very much for joining us this week for our June 20th episode here on 101.5 UMFM of Not Necessarily Automobile. I'm, again, your host, Ab Johnston. I was planning to do an episode last week just on some certain topics I never got a chance to do, and I'll look at possibly doing it later down the road, likely to deal with racism and our transportation system was one topic I was looking at, but as you all know, June 6th was quite a sad day and shook many in the cycling community, including myself, as a person who a couple years ago was hit by a car and had injuries. This especially shook me, given that it's quite a day where four cyclists were hit, including one was killed. Rob Jenner will get into that in a few moments, and I was quite shaken up out of that emotionally and mentally. So I decided not to do a show last week in honor of the memory of Rob Jenner. So today I am doing a show about the whole situation of what happened that day, as well as what can be done to improve these type of situations so they don't occur again. And again, hopefully that we can learn from this moving forward. And yeah. So again, thank you very much for joining us today on this episode. Thursday, June 6th, 2024. It'll be a day that will long live as one of the darkest days within the Winnipeg cycling community in recent memory. A day which saw tragedy, grief, sadness, and anger all rolled into one. From reports over social media, a total of four cyclists were injured, and one of them never made it back home as they lost their lives that morning on Wellington Crescent and Cockburn Street North at 7 a.m. 61-year-old Rob Jenner, who worked in the shipping receiving department at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights, was hit by a motor vehicle that day. Now, Mr. Jenner loved to cycle, and his family knew that he took some risks because of the poor infrastructure in the city and the challenges because of it. 19-year-old Beckham Kenneth Severite was charged and arrested with the following acts of conduct after he hit Rob Jenner and did not stay on the scene: dangerous operation of a conveyance causing death, as well as fail to stop at the scene of an accident, knowing that or reckless as to whatever they were involved in an accident causing death. This is according to Winnipeg Police website, or the City of Winnipeg website, actually. I hate that word accident. I really do. But anyway, after Rob Jenner's death, his family put out a statement that you can see on Bike Winnipeg website here, or preferably the Canadian Museum for Human Rights where he worked. They put out the statement on behalf of the family, and I'm just going to read it to sum it to you if I can. Quote, "We want everyone to know Rob, not just because of how he died, but because how he lived. Rob was a loving and caring husband, father, stepfather, grandpa, son, brother, uncle, and friend. He was an artist and writer. His home was filled with art. He was also an incredible chef. His family and friends looked forward to the meals he prepared for them with love. Rob was friendly, blunt, and was also very kind. He had a soft spot for people and was quick to connect with everyone. He was a person who treated everyone he knew with respect and dignity. Rob didn't treat people differently because on their job or the color of their skin or who they loved. He was just Rob, a wonderful man who loved to travel and was looking forward to retirement. Rob was taken away from us who loved him too soon. Rob was killed cycling to work, something he loved to do. He knew cycling in the city would be dangerous, but he loved it. He always left early. He was very safety conscious. He always cycled in his bright yellow safety gear, wore a helmet that had flashing lights, and followed all the proper safety measures while on the road. The city needs to do more for safer roads for cyclists, and we would ask every driver in Winnipeg reading this to think of Rob and to take extra care and patience while passing cyclists. We don't want another family to experience this grief." Rob's wife, Wendy Van Loon, adds, "He was my everything, and I know I was his," unquote. Rob Jeter's death, along with the injury of three other cyclists that day, brought lots of emotions within the cycling community. Sadness, anger, frustration were just many of the feelings that Winnipeg cyclists felt. A sense that once again, someone within our city of Winnipeg unwillingly lost their lives so someone can get somewhere a few extra seconds quicker by an automobile. After all, it seems not so uncommon to hear at least of one story each week or every couple where a pedestrian or cyclist is severely injured by a motorist, deemed by most of the population and our media as an quote accident, unquote, and too lazy to frame it as negligence on both poor driving and our poor transportation infrastructure, not taking active transportation into account in 2024. It's truly been one of our greatest Achilles heels in moving our city forward of nearly 900,000 as we inch slowly towards 1 million projected sometime within the next decade. People were quick to share their sadness and disgust that day, including myself. I mentioned on X, formerly known as Twitter, that day, as I've heard of the death of Rob Jenner, and I had this to say: "I am sorry, Winnipeg. I really am. You can't spin the latest death of a cyclist on Wellington Crescent today. You just can't. Enough's enough." Meanwhile, Mel Margerit of the Green Action Center had this to say on Twitter, replying to my tweet, quote, "Feel sick to my stomach with the nonsense today. This could have been any of us, anywhere in the city." Sighs. "Remember how Wellington was once an open street and a few wealthy people sabotaged it, and it's back to being a race zone that we all call a bike route? I hope that they and every public works employee that capitulated to them can't sleep with all of the blood on their hands. Hashtag Winnipeg Poly." Meanwhile, the next day, over 100 people attended a vigil for for the struck cyclist at the same place where the tragedy occurred. From reports, the protest was pretty peaceful, outside of the odd heckling motorists. All of them demanded that the city push towards a safer streets where, you know, you could walk and cycle and not have to worry about getting run over. Patty Weens, Winnipeg's first bicycle mayor, told CBC News at the June 7th protest that, quote, "We think that could have been me. I've been on that stretch so many times, or I have had a close pass right at that stretch. And I'll never use that again because I am terrified," unquote, Ween said. Quote, "Most of us all, or most of us all, we think, how many is too many," unquote. Weens also went on to say that day the city has the power to lower speed limits as a low-hanging fruit alternative to building bike lanes. Quote, "Feels like the priority is always for anything to do with cars, widen the roads, fix the potholes, but then the cyclists always kind of fall below," unquote, she said. Now, during the protest, near the end of it, many of those who attended chanted, "Where's the city? Where's 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 the city?" Exactly. Where's the city, after all, despite progress in building our city's active transportation infrastructure in the past 20 to 25 years? We remain middle to bottom in various rankings across Canada. Citizens overall, as showcased during a protest, just don't feel safe. I especially don't. I unfortunately was not at the protest, but I was, like I said earlier in the show, I was quite shaken after hearing it. And the recent incident only accelerated these feelings. Meanwhile, a Winnipeg Free Press editorial on June 11th entitled, quote, "A wake-up call the city should need," unquote, suggests the city should take a call to action to rapidly fix the problem despite progress made on active transportation infrastructure in the city. And I'll just read some snippets here of that editorial from the Free Press to give you a better sense here. Quote, "But it's not enough. Cyclists in Winnipeg are routinely forced to switch from protected bike lanes to busy roadways to reach their destinations. They must often compete with fast-moving motor vehicles, whose drivers do not always respect or make accommodations for cyclists. Riding a bike on busy roadways can be hazardous. It is not only discourages many people from cycling, it can end in tragedy as we saw last week. City Hall can and must do better. City politicians should make active transportation a higher priority. Right now, motor vehicles are still highest priority for City Hall when it comes to transportation budgeting, whether it's for street repairs, snow clearing, or the widening of roadways. The car is still king in Winnipeg." And that is the first part of this week's episode of Not Necessarily the Automobile. After a quick musical break, we'll discuss the steps needed to have a serious discussion to make cycling much safer and ensure this tragedy or tragedy like this don't occur again. We'll be right back. And we're back here on this episode of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm again your host, Sam Johnston. I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this episode. It's a very special episode with just with what happened on June 6th here. Just try to break this down for you. And if you are still in shock, like I know I am, and please don't be afraid to reach out to a loved one to discuss this, your counselor. If you are seeing a counselor, go see them. If you're still having some issues with this, try to grasp this. It's definitely a difficult situation, and I don't think this is going to be easy to digest for a while for many within the cycling community here in Winnipeg. So, again, if you're having issues, concerns, this like mental health, please go see it with someone. It's definitely very important to discuss this, as this is not an easy situation for sure. Now, this is a big part of the problem happening with excessive severe collisions between pedestrians, cyclists, and motorists here in Winnipeg. We have a transportation system that greatly benefits those in power, those who have the money. That includes the heavy construction industry, as well as automobile companies who are constantly making bigger automobiles with often reckless disregard to the vulnerable transport users like pedestrians and cyclists. After all, they have the most to lose when money is tapped into public transportation, active transportation, versus things like widening roads, hint, Kettison Boulevard. Large automobile companies are profiting to an extent on the misery of those vulnerable road users who have followed the rules of the road, only to be denied the dignity most users have felt. However, this is just one piece. It's great to be building out infrastructure to protect vulnerable road users like cyclists and pedestrians. That's great. However, the other hand that we must really look at is our legal system, where drivers, who are the ones behind the wheel, have to be dealt with. Now, both are complementary. No one solution is greater or better than the other. You can still have all the safe cycling infrastructure you want in the world, but if people do not respect the rules of the road for cycling and pedestrians and just ignore it, then you'll always have the same issues of unsafe streets. And on the opposite end, you can have the greatest legal system in the world, where the punishment is high, but if the cycling infrastructure is still subpar, pedestrians and cyclists will still get injured. We must address this problem, and here today on the show, here's what I'm suggesting. First, we got to revise the driver's license rules here in the province, where there, if there's a fatal injury or death, the person impacted who was involved with being behind the wheel and caused this problem should have their license revoked minimum 2 to 3 years, and probably a lot more, maybe 5 to 10 years. I mentioned this once in a letter to the Winnipeg Free Press about this back in September for some issues that occurred last fall. You see, having a driver's license is not a right, but it's a privilege. That's right, it's a privilege. We also need to put pressure on to ensure the punishment fits the crime, while ensuring that there is a pathway to renewal for people who've done this and that they've learned from their lesson. For example, those who are guilty of hitting a cyclist who then becomes severely injured or dies must have at least a couple of years of jail, then go do extensive community service work for a long, long time, perhaps the rest of their lives, so they can learn from this. Or the worst case scenario, at least like I said, a couple of years of jail, and maybe even more, maybe 10 years in jail. At least something. But should they live the rest of their lives in jail? I don't know, but they definitely need to be punished, but they should learn from their lesson and move on. It's ultimately balancing getting harder drivers who participate in deadly driving while ensuring that they can fix their problems. Now, this is part one of making the legal system much tougher for reckless driving. We have to make it as hard as possible for drivers at the legal level to get away with such nonsense. Often we hear that we are not tough on crime. You are right. We are not tough on crime. We're not tough enough on the issue of reckless driving, which frequently happens in our older neighborhoods where there are people with less income in these neighborhoods, residential areas as well, where kids should not have to be afraid to play on the street, like play hockey or throw a ball around. Which leads me to my second point. The city must work as quickly as possible to address the challenges of making cycling infrastructure as fail-safe as much as possible, where children should not have to fear taking their bike out for a ride. When you have cycling networks that you don't have to worry about having your kid being hit, your city passes the test. As well, consult with communities to see what is the best way to have safe cycling network built out. Perhaps, maybe they would don't want protected bike lanes in their residential areas, but instead, they would want, safer, slower speeds. Like under 30 kilometers an hour. Now, the bike mayor, Patty Weems, which all of you probably know by now, has a letter template on her blog that you can adjust and let City Hall know such concerns. Now, these concerns that are in this letter include setting up a committee to look at starting Vision Zero, lowering the speed limit to 30 kilometers an hour in residential streets, eliminating right turns on red lights, building out infrastructure that separates active transportation from motor vehicles, immediately advocate through the provincial government and Manitoba Public Insurance for the expansion and promotion of road safety initiatives for vulnerable road users, such as bicycle education safety training, also known as BESS in middle schools, as well as support changes to the Highway Act that will support the idle stop. But as well, and this is separate issues from what our bicycle mayor mentions here, one thing I think really flies under the radar so much is we need to have a serious discussion about how our city's transportation system is inherently rich in systematic racial problems from colonialism. Our policies have supported constant suburban sprawl and white flight into these areas. We can have all the safe infrastructure too, which is great. But we also need to address the social challenges of our inner city. We need to understand the challenges of constant car collisions that are not just a fluke, but of a transportation system not only in other North American cities, but especially in Winnipeg, where we have neglected the poorest of the poor. We have neglected our public transportation system quite frequently in this city. We have neglected the traditional lands of the Indigenous peoples. We need to listen to our Indigenous peoples on how we can be partners with them in restoring those lands here in Winnipeg to support a fair and just transportation system by consulting through them on with the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, also known as UNDRIP. We need to look at using those lands to create more trails to support our active transportation system while working towards true reconciliation. That would be one way we can move forward through truth and reconciliation in supporting our Indigenous peoples here in Winnipeg. On June 6, we saw something positive that came out of a tragedy. We saw here in our city people rallying around to say enough is enough. We saw people demanding change to ensure people can walk, bike, and dignity rather than being an afterthought. Enough's enough. Residents deserve better. Winnipeg deserves better. Here is hoping that this can be the catalyst for real change. After all, we owe it to many people, whatever you think politically, on the political spectrum to have safe streets. We owe it to those who have been severely injured or killed from motor vehicle collisions, who deserve much better fate in this world. We owe it to our children and our children's children to ensure that they reach their full potential in their lives, not having to worry about getting hit by an automobile. We owe it to our environment to reduce our carbon emissions so that we keep our planet intact for future generations. And finally, we owe it to this moment in our history, to our indigenous peoples, to correct a transportation system that, if you look back on, has been unjust in our past. And that's this week's episode of Not Necessarily the Automobile here on 101.5 UMFN. I'm again your host, Adam Johnston. You can always reach out to us on our email here, and that email address is notnecessarilytheautomobile@gmail.com. You can also contact us on our social media page, Twitter, also known as X, and that our Twitter handle is @NNTAONUMFM. You can go listen to our archives on the UMFM website at www.umfm.com. It is on there, and you can also go to our website. That is www.notnecessarilytheautomobile.wordpress.com. As well, I would encourage you, because of the instances that have occurred in the past couple weeks, to reflect on what has occurred and how we can make our city safer, better, and just for everyone in terms of active transportation, to ensure that cyclists and pedestrians aren't harmed, that we work towards reconciliation, like I said. Also want to say, as I close the show today, that I also encourage everyone to go give your family member a call, give your loved ones a call, just ask them to know if they're okay. Check in on your family members. Go say hi to your parents, as life is too short. You never know what's going to happen, as we've seen recent weeks. So please go call a loved one, see how they're doing, because life's too short, because you never know what will happen. And please stay tuned next for Democracy Now! Featuring Amy Goodman. Again, I'm your host, Adam Johnston. Thank you very much for listening today. I hope you have a good week, and I will see you next week at the same time, next Thursday. Bye for now.